Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this morning will be taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians. And I'm going to read the first 23 verses of that chapter. So that's Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1. And I'll read the first 23 verses. Colossians 1, beginning with verse 1, and reading then as follows in the name of our Lord. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, in you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which was heard, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank you again this morning for your word. And we do pray again this morning that, Father, you would make yourself known to us. As we look into this word again, Father, our prayer is that we would see ourselves, we would see you, and we would see our Savior. So sanctify us in the truth, for your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, we pray. Amen. It's always interesting to me when we enter into another new year what would be the mindset? At least this is what goes through my mind. What is the mindset of the people who gather on the first Sunday of the new year? Perhaps they haven't thought about it at all. You know, you're just kind of moving along from day to day. Or you're like some people who have decided, well, in this new year, I'm going to make myself some resolutions and begin to do something different, whatever that might be. I'm going to gain a little weight. I'm going to lose a little weight, whatever it might be. You've decided that this is what you're going to do this year. But I would challenge you this morning. I would challenge you at the outset of this message to make this your goal. And that is that you might know God. Now that may seem kind of like a strange thing for me to say to a group of believers who are gathered here this morning, to ask you to make this now your goal as you begin a new year. But really what I'm trying to drive home for you is all that Paul brings out now in the message that you heard, or the words that you heard read for you this morning. That you would now begin to understand what it means to know God. You see, Paul brings this out clearly through all of his letters as he writes to the various churches that he writes to. And in Colossians here in particular, you may have noticed as we read through this text, he says, "This is my prayer for you, that you would increase in the knowledge of God." Now that's a fascinating thing, isn't it? Isn't that why we gather here on church Sunday after Sunday, and perhaps on some Wednesday nights or whenever it is that we gather, Friday nights as we do here in this congregation? We gather here to gain knowledge. Really? Is that why we're gathered here this morning? To gain knowledge? No, you see, the interesting thing about being a follower of Jesus Christ, about being his child and living in this world, is to understand that though we know him in part, yet according to the scripture, we are able to know him in a greater and greater way. Because Paul writes, or Peter rather, writes to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Actually, very often when you encounter people who are Christians, who have been Christians all their life, they need to go through a process of unlearning. Because we come into our walks of Christianity very often with all of this baggage. We have all of this stuff. This is what you need to do in order to be a believer and a Christian. You have to go through these certain sets of rules, whatever it might be. And we got to wade through all of that stuff and get to the point where we need to be. And this is really what Paul brings out here very clearly in this passage. He says, look, I am thanking God for you. Why? Because they had received the message of the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, and this is now what they were clinging to. So knowing God is not some religious endeavor. It's not that I'm about to try to get you to embark on a journey through the year of 2015 in some religious endeavor to somehow get yourself closer to God. No, actually what I'm trying to get you to do is to read your scripture. Read the word. You see, my friends, if you want to know God, if you want to know how he behaves and how he acts in this world, then you need to know his word. It is through this word that he makes himself known unto you and I in this current world where we live. He speaks from this word. And so in the beginning of the year of 2015, nothing really changes for us. We simply come to this realization again. We need to know God. Well, how am I going to know him? Well, it's by the reading of his word, and it's by fellowshipping with believers. It's by hearing the word spoken. Romans 10:17, you're familiar with that verse. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or the word of Christ is how you see it rendered in your Greek Bibles. Well, perhaps you don't have those, but in my Greek Bible. It is through this preaching of Christ that we come to know who God is. And this is really what the second Sunday in Christmas is all about. Actually, the readings for this Sunday were out of Ephesians and out of the Gospel of John. You heard the psalm read for you. That was the readings for this Sunday. Because what it was trying to bring to us, what this passage brings to us as well, is the divinity of Christ. So the question is, do you want to know God? Is it our endeavor as we live out our lives in this world to know God? Or what exactly are we going to achieve in the year 2015? And you may have a list, and that's fine. But I want to get you back to where you need to be focused as you begin another new year. It is knowing Christ and him crucified, as Paul writes in his letter to the Galatians. It's knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection that Paul writes about in Philippians. It is knowing Christ and his suffering that Paul writes of in all of his letters. He says it's all about knowing him that brings us now to the knowledge of God. And then we have something to be thankful for. Because what he writes about in this, and I'm not going to preach through all of these verses this morning. I'm actually going to skip ahead to right around verse 10 or verse 9. Paul, in the first 8 verses, just simply affirms to them that I have brought this gospel message unto you. You have received it. You now live and abide in the hope of the gospel. And wow, am I thankful that that's where you are dwelling. And I hope that's where you will remain. In fact, he says, that's what I'm praying for. And my prayer this morning is, as a minister of the gospel, that indeed this year, as you embark through this year and do whatever it is that you do this year, that you would not lose the hope of the gospel, that you would not somehow go down the pathway of religious ideology where you begin to think that somehow in some way you're going to please God by your actions this year. You will not. If you are not found in Christ as you go through this year, you can bring me all of the good works you want, but those things stink if you are not found in Christ. And that's really the message. Do you want to know God? Well, you need to know Christ. Because it's when we are found in Christ that we now carry all of the benefits as well. He says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Isn't that an amazing thing? You see, it'd be very easy for me at this point to get detoured. I could say, okay, this is the way it is, folks. I am about to put up on the projector, I don't have one, but metaphorically, I'm going to put on the projector some guidelines for you for this year. And as you go through the year, I want you to make sure each and every day that you take out this list that I just made for you of guidelines, and you follow through those things, and you will have a good year. God will bless you. And unfortunately, that's what we do very often with God. We bring in our religious principles, and we say, well, this is how you please God. Let me show you how it is done. You simply now got to get out there and take yourself up and make sure now that you're doing all of these marvelous things for God, and he will be very happy with you. And what we fail to recognize is God is already happy with us. We don't start a new year and hope that somehow as we live out this year, we're going to make God happy with us. How are we to make God any more happy with us? If we are found in Christ, if our sins are forgiven and we are washed in his blood, God is pleased with us. And all Paul is really saying is now go out and live like the person God has made you. In other words, those things which you bring forth that we might call good works simply come forth because of who you are as a believer in Christ. So he says, an increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with his might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And you notice something. Actually, I want to point out something to you out of Philippians. It's quite fascinating. Paul says some very interesting thing along these same lines. In verse 12 of chapter 2, he says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But he doesn't stop there. He says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do you see why it's important that we know God? Do you understand what I'm trying to drive home for you this morning? How do you know your God? How do you see him? Is he this fatherly figure who's in heaven with his whip preparing to beat us when we sin? Is he one who's in heaven who's waiting for us to make a mistake so he can mark it on his naughty list? How do you know him? You see, that's the question that we need to ask ourselves as we begin a new year. How do I know God? How do I understand him? Do I understand him in that sort of way, as one who is a wrathful God who is waiting simply to punish me for my sins? Or do I know Christ? You see, this is what we need to know. Paul says these words as we go on in our text. He says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's how we know God. We know this God who is now not just God. He is our Father. He is the one who has delivered us from our predicament and from our plight. He is not this wrathful God that sometimes, unfortunately, Christians want to dress him up to be. He is a God who is gracious, who has worked out his will in this world by taking people who were sinners and bringing them into his kingdom through the work of his Son. He has translated us or transferred us onto this kingdom of light. We have been removed from the realm of darkness. And the realm of darkness very often encapsulates religion as well, unfortunately. And he says, now I have brought you into light. So how do we know him? How do you know him this morning? Do you hear what the scripture is saying for you? This one has done these things for you. Long before you ever would have sought him out or looked for him to do these things, he did them because this is what he wanted. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, of the Son that he loves. He says, and notice these words, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Redemption, big word. I described this for the children, I don't know, maybe a month or so ago in a little story that I told them. I won't retell the story this morning, but you understand the message of redemption, I hope, or remember. Just simply means that you have been purchased, you have been bought and back. And this has been done through the shedding of the blood of Christ. You are now his child. So you see, we begin to know him not just simply as this God who lives out there in some ethereal realm in heaven somewhere, but God who is now our Father, who has come in and taken care of our needs, much like very often we might view our earthly fathers who guide us and take care of us in our lives by giving us food and the things that we need to sustain life. He says, listen, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And I'm just going to read through these verses. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. What Paul is driving home in this passage is that Christ now is the one who reveals unto us God. This same one who is God, who created everything for us, who holds all of this in his hand, has come down now to make us his own. He has redeemed us with his own blood. He has purchased us and made us his own. Because this is what he wanted to do. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So what is it to know God? What does it mean to you this morning to know God? It's knowing this one. It's knowing this one who is at the forefront of everything that we know. He says he has the preeminence. In other words, he comes first in everything. This one who we know as Jesus has come now to declare unto us who exactly the Father is. He has come to show us who we are, but better than that, to show us what God has done now for us through this same one, so that we would be drawn again in this new year back to the centrality of the message of the gospel, which is Jesus Christ. We can never try to somehow add on to that. It is always the gospel to which we must return whenever we find ourselves drifting off into liberalism or conservatism or whatever it is that we want to label these things. We find ourselves back at the foot of the cross because there is where we find our God. We find him in his redemptive work that he has done for us. For it pleased the Father, notice what he says, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. There is a lot packed into that verse. And we don't have time this morning to really unpack that verse for all that's in there. But I want to make just this one connection for you. Do you realize that what Paul is saying here is that all of the fullness of the Godhead dwells in this God-man? In other words, in Jesus Christ. But he makes another connection a little later on in this epistle. He says that God now dwells with you. You have received everything that he offers. Everything has been given to you in Christ. And you who are now a believer in Christ, as you live out your life in this world, are to understand that. So is it important that I know God? I think it is. Because you see, this is the only place that we find life. There is life in no other place. There's lots of people running around out there sucking in air and breathing out carbon dioxide, breathing in oxygen, breathing out carbon dioxide, going through the motions, breathe it in, breathe it out. But they don't have life. we have life. In this new year, we are to understand that we have life. And it's been given to us as a free gift through the work and the merits of Jesus the Christ. Because he says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." And the church erupts in glorious praise. Do you understand what has been done for you? When you read the scripture and you begin to read through the word of God, I promise you, if you will take the time to pick up your Bible and simply read through it, God will speak to you. In that verse alone, that is a powerful verse. Because he says, you in your own minds, you make this happen. You think that you have all of these troubles. You think that you are alienated from God because of the sin that you deal with in your members. But Paul says, you have been reconciled. And that simply means you have been made friendly again with God. These things have been taken away. And he says, how did he do it? In the body of his flesh through death. And I love these verses. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So I ask you again, is it important to know God? It is. It is in knowing him, in knowing Christ, that we now find a glorious change for us as people. The realm of death we no longer know. That has been taken away. We now live in the realm of life. And we dwell in the realm of life as those who are people of God, who have been made this. We have been made holy and blameless and unreprovable. Can you imagine? Is there any better way to start the new year than to realize that you stand before God completely holy and blameless and unreprovable? So how could I, as a minister of the gospel, stand here and begin to accuse you of something? I can't. Because if you tell me that you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that your sins have been washed, then why am I going to dredge those things up again? I won't do it. Because you are the children of God. And the scripture tells me that if you are a child of God, then you are holy and you are without blame. And he goes on in the closing verse, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Notice, Paul says, what am I a minister of? I am a minister of the gospel. What is your pastor a minister of? He is a minister of the gospel. And when I stop preaching the gospel, by golly, you better get up here and drag me out of here. Because I don't deserve to stand here. If I'm going to preach to you any other nonsense than what the Word of God says here, you must hear the gospel coming forth from this pastor, because if you don't, then it's time for me to go. And that's what Paul says. Don't turn from the gospel. Don't add anything to the gospel. In this new year, as you live here and as you farm or teach or take care of your children as moms or whatever it is that you do, build houses. I know there's a variety of occupations in this building. Don't turn away from the hope of the gospel. It is the hope of the gospel that will sustain you through this year, and is the hope of the gospel that will sustain you through the remainder of the entirety of your life, until the day when that hope is removed, because you will see him with your physical eyes. You will no longer need hope, because there he will be. And we will rejoice forevermore there. But already the sound of God's children raising their voices in praise is heard. Why? Because we have the hope of the gospel. So praise God this morning for another new year, where we can live out our lives in this year, and perhaps in many more to come. That's all in God's realm. But praise God that we can live out our lives under the hope of the gospel and know ourselves to be his children, washed in the blood of his Son, and waiting for the day when he comes back. But while we wait, we live our lives as his people. And he gives us the ability to do so. I mean, man, this is unreal. This is just unbelievable news. Too good to be true, I know. But nevertheless, it's true. So praise God for his gospel again this morning. Amen.